The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday in Advent is from Isaiah chapter 7. These words serve as our sermon text as well. Again, the Lord said to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men, that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the boy knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings you dread will be deserted. The Lord will bring upon you and upon your people and upon your father's house such days as have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, the king of Assyria." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the first chapter. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be richly multiplied unto each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. In 2006, the movie Children of Men was released. The movie foretells a frightening future in which not a single baby is born for 18 years. In this dark world, it doesn't take long before people begin to point the finger. Who's to blame? Is God punishing us? Are foreigners corrupting us? Society breaks down in civil war and racial tensions. Refugees from poor nations pour into Great Britain. The British government puts up walls and detainment camps to keep the outsiders out. Then into this chaotic world of death and despair, a young African girl named Key suddenly becomes pregnant. It's a miracle. The main character, Theo, is enlisted by his ex-wife to protect Key and smuggle her out of the country so she can give birth in safety. when they're delayed, Key gives birth in a refugee camp during a fierce battle. The baby begins to cry. Amazingly, above the din of battle, the baby's cry is heard. The fighting stops as the soldiers stand in awe of the first baby born in 2 decades. The Lutheran question would be, what does this mean? For some, Key's baby is a sign of hope, a future for the human race. But for others, it's a sign of judgment on their hatred and violence. For as soon as the baby moves on, the battle resumes. Is Key's baby a sign of hope or judgment? That depends, because what a sign means depends on how you see it, which is our theme. We can look at our text from Isaiah 7 from that same perspective this morning. My fellow believers in the sign given by God through Isaiah. The sign of Emmanuel was judgment for Ahaz, which is our first point. Ahaz lived in a time of fear and doubt. Syria and Ephraim had formed an alliance against Judah. They had laid siege to the city of Jerusalem and were determined to destroy the southern kingdom. We read, now it came about in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, the king of Judah, that Razan, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up against it, but could not conquer it. When it was reported to the house of David, saying, Syria has camped in Ephraim, his heart and the hearts of his people shook as the trees of the forest shake with the wind. Ahaz should have trusted in the Lord to deliver him, but he was an unbeliever. He worshiped idols rather than seeking God's way. He forms an alliance with the Assyrians. The Lord sends Isaiah to give hope to Ahaz. And he said to him, take care and be calm. Have no fear and do not be faint-hearted because of these two stubs of smoldering firebrands. The plans of Ephraim would fail and Ephraim would be destroyed. We're told prior to our text, thus says the Lord God, it shall not stand, nor shall it come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Razan. Now within another 65 years, Ephraim will be shattered so that it is no longer a people. Ahaz is told that he needs to put his trust in the Lord concerning this matter. And the warning comes in these words, if you will not believe, you surely shall not last. The sad fact is that Ahaz did not believe. The Lord says to Ahaz, ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Make it deep as Sheol or as high as heaven. But note his stubborn response, I will not ask. Nor will I test the Lord. Ahaz preferred the help of Assyria rather than that of God. Ahaz saw the offer of a sign as an unwanted intrusion upon his plans. Yet the Lord gives a messianic sign to Ahaz in the promise of Emmanuel, We read those famous words in verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. The prophecy continued with the promise that this child would be able to refuse evil and to choose good. Also, the two kings that opposed Ahaz would be gone. That was the good news part of the prophecy. The bad part would come because of the rejection of the promise and the utter unbelief of Ahaz. We read at the end of the text, the Lord will bring on you, on your people, on your father's house, such days as have never come since the day that Ephraim, meaning Israel, separated from Judah, the king of Assyria. Ultimately, for Ahaz, the sign of Emmanuel was a sign of judgment because he saw the sign as an inconvenience. And what a sign means depends on how you see it. Secondly, the sign of Emmanuel was good news for Joseph and Mary. Now we touch briefly into the gospel lesson from Matthew. Joseph and Mary also lived in a time of fear. They lived in an occupied country as Judah was under Roman rule. Mary was pregnant, but they weren't married, only engaged. So Joseph assumed that Mary had been unfaithful to him. And we read of Joseph's thoughts in this matter. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. Joseph was willing to break the engagement for the sake of Mary. But God sends an angel to give Joseph hope. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. What comfort those words must have brought to Joseph. Mary had not been unfaithful to him. We read, and she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. To Joseph and Mary would be the one born, promised first to Adam and Eve after their fall into sin. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. Joseph believed God, and the sign was given to him. The sign of the virgin birth was a reassurance for Joseph, not only of the virtue of Mary, but also that of God's grand design coming to fruition. And Joseph arose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took her as his wife and kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Therefore, for Joseph and Mary, the sign of Emmanuel was a sign of forgiveness and promise. Because what the sign means depends on how you see it. Finally, we ask, What does the sign of Emmanuel mean for you and me? We too live in a time of some fear and uncertainty. The world stage affects all of us. Russia is still in Ukraine. North Korea still continues to test missiles. We are $31 trillion in debt as a nation. We still have inflation that affects every one of us. Gas prices are coming down a little, something to be thankful for. We know people who are living with anxiety and no hope because they are clinging to the false gods and idols of this world instead of being connected to Jesus Christ by faith. We see and live amidst the fruit of sin, ours included. Into the midst of that fear and doubt, God has sent Jesus to bring us hope. Jesus tells us that we need not fear. He brings us calm and assurance to face each day and its trials. And you know those things come. We don't go looking for them. He brings us the peace which does pass all understanding. It is the peace that he earned through the shedding of his blood upon the cross. And that shed blood we receive in the Holy Supper for the forgiveness of all of our sins. That shed blood sprinkles us as our sins are absolved by the pastor in the name and the stead of Jesus himself. All of this God gives us by the sign of Emmanuel, Jesus, the one who came in human flesh. As John wrote, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. By coming in the flesh, Jesus took our fears. He took our conflicts. He took all of our sins upon himself. As Paul said, God made him who knew no sin to be sin in our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And yes, Jesus is put to death in our place, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not counting their trespasses against them. You see, all of the sin, all of the garbage in our lives was counted and placed upon Jesus. And he absorbed it. And he paid for it all in full through his suffering, death, and resurrection. How do you see the sign? Jesus brings you the forgiveness of your sins and a sure and certain sign of hope, both now and for eternity. What the sign means depends on how you see it. In the name and completed work of Christ Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.